Hello, and welcome to the Student Ministry Conversations podcast with your hosts, Brent Aiken, David Pruitt, and Russell Martin. This podcast is all about equipping, encouraging, and inspiring youth pastors weekly with topics that are brought to the table by youth pastors from all over the world. And now, here's your host for this week, Brent Aiken. Hey, and welcome to the podcast. If this is your first time listening to us, we want to welcome you and invite you over to our website, studentministryconversations.org, where you can find all of our previous episodes, show notes, and blog articles. Our goal is that you are inspired, encouraged, and the things that you hear on this podcast can equip you to be a better student pastor for the church that you're serving in. Today, we are sitting down with Zachary Keller, and Zachary is joining us today to talk to us about engaging students with the Bible. And we'll go into a little bit more with that as we talk to him today. But yeah, without further ado, here is my conversation with Zachary. Hey guys, welcome back to the podcast. Today we are sitting down with Zachary Keller. And so Zach, I don't want to steal your thunder, man. So you go ahead and tell us all about you, ins and outs of who you are, where you are, what you do, etc.
Absolutely, man. Thanks for having me. My name is Zach. I'm a junior high and outreach director at Trinity Baptist Church in Texarkana, Arkansas. I've been here for about almost a year and a half. Before that, I was youth director at Pembroke Baptist Church in Pembroke, Kentucky, which is right on the border of Kentucky and Tennessee. I've been doing student ministry for, I think, 3 years. I don't know. As I get older, things are starting to get fuzzier. It's funny because I'm only 23. But man, I am called to student ministry. I'm called specifically to junior high students. I just love, we were talking about right before the podcast, I love about junior high students everything people hate about junior high students: their energy, their lack of attentiveness, their craziness. I mean, it just, when you get a junior high student in love with Jesus, their passion is unrivaled in the church. So that just fires me up. So I do student ministry. When I'm not doing student ministry, which isn't often, I'm doing recreation ministry, or I'm doing outreach ministry, trying to do different things like block parties or sports camps or things like that, just whatever we can to make the name of Jesus known. I love watching TV and playing video games. I've probably watched The Office 5 times through, which is rookie numbers for some people. I'm working on Community for, I'm trying to get it 3 times through. Man, it's comfort shows is what it is. You know what I mean? Just watching the same show over and over.
Oh, yeah.
Turn the brain off. Yeah, that's me.
That's awesome, man. No, thank you for coming on the show. Thank you for being a part. And as we say just about every episode at the end, if you want to be on the show, you can email us and we will put you on the show. And that's exactly what Zach did. He shot us an email and he was like, "Hey man, love the podcast. If you ever need me to come on, I'd be honored." And I mean, it took like a week, and here we are recording your episode. So but yeah, like you said, today we're going to be talking about engaging students with the Bible. And I think that can go in a lot of different ways. And so when you say engaging ways, what are you exactly referring to?
Man, when I talk about engaging students with the Bible, I'm talking more than just standing in front of a group of students and teaching lecture style. I think that has a place in the church, and clearly many, if not all, of our ministries revolve around some kind of lecture-based teaching. But just through experience and through my own personal experience as a student, and then briefly as a student minister now, man, the lack of engagement we've done with the other senses other than hearing has been minimal. So when I'm talking about engaging students with the Bible, I think engaging with those other senses, engaging through what they're seeing, engaging through what they can feel physically, engaging through communication, many different ways. If that's something as simple as throwing something up on a screen during your pro presenter teaching session. Man, last week we threw up a Shrek scene when Donkey runs into the dragon. We were talking about Song of Solomon, about not awaking love. And I was like, man, we got to throw up the freaking Shrek scene. So we threw up Shrek and we watched a 3-minute clip of Shrek and we talked about it, and we engaged them with the Bible in that moment. It's like, man, if we awaken love at the wrong time, then we experience this kind of danger that Donkey did with awakening the dragon. There's things like man, making a fool of yourself. There was one time we were talking about, I think I can't remember exactly what it is, but I stood in front of my students and I acted like a pig. And that just, they were like, what are we doing right now? But I was able to tie it all together. Or maybe something as simple as just having some students come on stage or getting students to stand up and move around and do something. Or even just having questions throughout the lesson. So engaging them in all those different senses and trying to make sure when we're presenting the gospel, when we're presenting truth about the Bible, we're trying to do it in every way possible so that we might win some.
That's awesome. Yeah, I love that you used, I mean, what a great scene to use as far as like not awaking love at the wrong time. I have not thought about pairing those two together, but man, that's a good one. But yeah, I think that allowing ourselves to be more than auditory learners in any scope of our lives is important. Some people are visual, some people want to get dirty with their hands, and allowing all of those different routes to be ways that we engage students is a very, very important part. And we've obviously had some episodes on different aspects of this. And the thing is there's so many different ways to do exactly what you're saying, whether you're getting people up in front of the room and having them act something out, or whether you get the entire group involved and make a Bible story a skit. We've talked about that in a previous episode, and there's just so many different ways. But in your opinion, what's the importance of engaging students on a deeper level with that creativity and avoiding that shallow end of teaching?
Man, like you said, there's so few people who are purely auditory learners. I think I read a study one time that we only obtain and receive and remember about 10 to 20% of what we hear, but over 80%, 80 to 90% of what we experience, right? So when I'm teaching the Bible and when I'm trying to teach in an engaging way, I'm trying to create an environment where a student can not only hear the Bible, which is incredibly important, and don't get it wrong, man, we're teaching the Bible in auditory ways because faith comes through hearing. But man, I want to allow a student to experience the truth of the Bible, whether that be through communication or that be through acting something out, like you were talking about, or watching something on a screen. So man, if we deny this engagement, right? If we deny this idea of, man, I've got students who just can't sit still, right? A junior high minister, I've got them. They cannot sit still for the life of them. They're fidgeting, they're throwing stuff. I had a kid last week, like, have a pencil in his hand. He stabbed his buddy in the leg or something. Like, we got kids that just can't sit still. And if I look at that and go, okay, well, too bad, tough nuggets, right? You're going to have to just sit there and listen. Then, man, I'm losing that student. They may keep coming back and they may keep coming and sitting and not hearing a word of what I'm saying. But man, the gospel and the truth of the Bible is far too important for us to be stuck in ways of simply, I'm just going to speak this to a student and hope they hear it. It's, man, yeah. I've got students in the room that are learning in different ways. And if I really believe that this is an eternal matter, I want to do whatever I can to make sure they can hear it, whether it be through any type of engaging way. I want to create an experience to where they could truly grab onto and hold near to their heart the truth of the Bible and allow it to change everything for them.
Yeah. And what is it, Life Church, that their slogan is, we'll do anything short of sin for someone to experience the gospel. Yeah. Something like that. I mean, powerful words though. We don't spend near the time I think that we need to, as far as our creative juices and what we're bringing to the table, to present the gospel in ways that might have a significant impact to one kid, when we can just kind of blanket throw out the, oh, hey, y'all are just going to sit down and be quiet and listen to me. But one of the things that has always kind of fascinated me is, like, we don't do that in children's ministry.
Yeah.
We don't do that in preteen ministry. If your church has like a fourth and fifth grade, they're like involved and they have videos and they have coloring and they have games.
Somehow when student ministry starts, it's like, yeah, all right, now we're going to just jump right in and you're just going to sit down and listen. And there's no ifs, ands, buts about it. It's wild. It's like, I was talking with somebody about this the other day. it's the idea that there's got to be this, eventually church does become that, where we've got to get to a place where we're going to sit under the teaching of the Word of God, gathered with the saints in what I call big church, right? Eventually we get to that point where we're in a maturity level and we have enough of an attention span to sit there for 20, 30 minutes and go, okay, I'm going to read this passage and listen to a pastor unpack it. But man, we're asking 12-year-olds, we're asking 14-year-olds to do that after all they've, if they've grown up in church, all they've experienced is, man, we're going to play a game and then they're going to explain to me this is what this means, or we're going to watch this video, or we're going to do this dance or something. And then they get to student ministry and they're like, why aren't we doing any of those things?
Yeah, 100%. And I think that there's a significant disconnect there. I think that's part of the reason that junior high has the reputation of being wild and crazy and unmanageable and everything like that. We drop some incredible expectations on them once they hit sixth grade. But yeah. Then on top of that, I would say a majority of, I don't know, I can't say majority, but a lot of churches meet on Wednesday nights or Thursday nights. And with that, you have the other expectation of they've just sat in school for 8 hours doing exactly what you're trying to get them to do. And so we have to kind of work towards giving them something that's worth staying awake for, if that makes sense. And the gospel, I'm not saying that the gospel isn't that, but I do think that we have some creative ways that we can present that. And so obviously there are some drier segments. There are some drier points in the Bible. Do you think that the whole engaging creatively applies to all of scripture, or do you think that there's some sections that you can't avoid being a little less engaging?
Man, there's going to be moments where you're unpacking something and there's going to be no other option than for you to have to explain, this is what this means, right? So for example, a few weeks ago, we're sitting in our Sunday morning connect group and we're talking about Jesus in the temple. And how he's cleansing the temple. And we're having a discussion around it. And we're just sitting in a bigger group. And we're just talking about, man, what are your thoughts about this? What are your opinions on this? And one of my sixth grade girls, she looks up and she goes, does this mean Jesus is in sin? Because she assumed that there was this idea that Jesus was whipping people out of the temple, right? That's one way people read that passage. And they start to have this conversation surrounding that. And I was like, man, I could allow them to engage in this and have a conversation and allow them to reach their own conclusion. Or I could step in and say, this is truth. Because there are moments when we've got to be able to, as shepherds, step in and say, this is the firm truth. This is the fundamental truth. Now, that's not to say that I'm going to sit there for 15 minutes and go, this is the truth. You've got to shut up and listen to me now. Sure. But we allow them to get to a place where their mind is engaged, to where now they're primed to hear what is truth.
Yeah.
So when we're in teaching sessions and we're talking about, for example, last week, like I said, we were talking about Song of Solomon, don't awaken love until the proper time. We're having discussions surrounding that. We're having moments where I had a student come up and there were two pitchers of water and we were just trying to demonstrate, man, in godly relationship, one pours into the other and then the other pours back into you. And it's this constant steady flow. We had moments where we were having just questions being asked throughout the lesson. We had the Shrek video show up. But then eventually we had to come to a point where I had to say, okay, to land the plane, I've got to become the one that now says, this is what the Bible's teaching here. That yeah. You have to understand that, man, for some of you in the room, this is not the time for you to awaken love. This is not the time for you to be engaging in relationships. And I got some ugly faces for that. They were not fond of that answer, but I was like, this is truth, right? So yeah. If we have to engage them, I think every time we open the Bible, there is some way we can engage them, whether it's a picture, whether it's a video, whether it's an activity or a discussion, to get their minds primed. And then you could go, okay, in this 5-minute segment, I'm going to explain to you, this is what truth is. This is what the Bible's teaching here. And then they can go, man, why did we pour water into those pitchers? Why did we talk about that? Because they remember those engaging moments.
Yeah.
Oh, because Zach said this, or because Brett said this, or so. So I think You've got to be able to land the plane and explain truth auditorily, vocally. But man, and anytime you open the Bible, there are ways that you can somehow explain in some way or another to engage them, to even prime them for that truth.
Yeah, no, without a doubt. And the thing is the engaging ways stick. The engaging things that hit you on a personal level will not leave your brain. Yeah. I have left youth ministry as a student 14 years ago. My youth pastor that I had for most of my youth career left when I was at the end of my sophomore year. And I still remember some lessons that he did in eighth grade, ninth grade, man, that to this day, I still vividly have the visualization of what happened in my head. And it's not just that. I also have used those visualizations because they had such an impact on me, whether it was music and equating a song to what the gospel was saying or what we were going over in scripture, or he did an illustration talking about sin and how sin doesn't stick when we confess to God and ask for forgiveness. He took a white t-shirt and had a kid wear it. And then he just like picked out students and were like, "Hey, you're greed. Come up here, grab a condiment and like squirt the condiment all over the shirt." And he had all kinds of stuff. I mean, but it was just one of those things. It was like, you know, that will permanently stick in my mind. But then after that, at the end, we listened to a song. And while he was playing that song, he had a bowl of diluted bleach and started working on that shirt in the bowl of bleach. And by the end of the song, he pulled it up and all the stains were gone.
Yeah.
And it was just one of those things. It was like me as a student seeing that, experiencing that, and then adding the auditory of like the music and everything else, that was something I'm never going to forget. And it's something that I've recreated time and time again because it was so impactful to me. But there are those things that like you will experience things in teaching that like you don't want to forget, and really you can't forget because of the way that they were presented. And I think that's something that heavily needs to happen in junior high. Very, very much whatever you can do in those regards to make that happen. So what are some benefits that you have personally seen from engaging students in that way? Does it spark more curiosity? Does it spark more questions? Does it spark more engagement on the students' parts? And then if I don't know, this is kind of a loaded question, I guess, in my mind, but do you have a particular method that you try to use the most because you've seen it work the best?
Yeah. So let me answer the first one just with an example. The girl that asked last week or 2 weeks ago when we were talking about Jesus cleansing the temple. Actually, it was this past Sunday when she asked, does this mean Jesus was in sin? This is the same girl that earlier last month didn't want to come to student ministry anymore. Just did not have an interest in it, said it was boring and that we weren't doing enough. I took that. I sat with her family and I just kind of heard their concerns and their thoughts. I said, man, I really want you guys to be a part. I want you to really be able to sit in and learn these things. And that's what kind of sparked the Shrek thing. I was like, okay, I've got to figure out a way because I know this student's struggling. How do I figure out a way that this student can really experience the Bible? And most of the time on a Wednesday night, Sunday morning, I've seen this student and they're just not engaged just because a lot of what we're doing has been not their avenue. And this past Wednesday, when we did our Song of Solomon study, it was wild to me. I asked a question to the group. I was like, how is love dangerous? After we watched the Shrek video, because Donkey says that this idea of walking into the dragon's lair is an unfamiliar, dangerous situation. And without skipping a beat, this student goes, she says, because you might have to lose that. Because gaining love, you might lose it. And I was like, I was shocked in my head. I had to keep going. But in my head, I was like, this student just answered. It hasn't happened, right? That was unreal for me. This little win that, hey, this student's paying attention now. And then Connect Group Sunday morning, that following Sunday morning, she's reading and she's asking questions and she's the most engaged of anybody in the group. I mean, I was just, I was pumping my fist. I was going crazy. I was like, this is happening. Students that are just so far off because they simply can't engage with just listening to somebody. Man, if you take the extra time to think about how would this student connect with this, man, changes everything. So my typical formula, and by no means is this the perfect formula. I'm still tinkering with it, still trying to figure it out. Man, I tell people that I don't like to speak for more than 5 minutes at a time. So if I'm teaching a 20, 25 minute lesson, I'm only going to speak for 5 minutes at a time. I'm going to start by reading the passage. And then that's going to be one chunk of time that I'm reading. And then I'm going to ask them a question. And then we're going to talk about that question for a few minutes. Now we got a smaller group, so that means we're able to do things like that. So I'm going to ask them a question and we'll talk about that. And then for 5 minutes, I'm going to explain something about the passage based on the question we just talked about. And then from there, I know, okay, after that 5 minute segment, attention spans are starting to wane off. They're starting to look around. They're starting to want to stab each other with a pencil. So now I'm going to move into some kind of activity, whether that's, man, whole group's going to get up and we're going to try to lift up a couch. That's something we've done before. It was awesome. Whether we're going to try to lift up a couch to explain that we need, man, we need strength from other people, or man, I'm going to have two or three volunteers come up and you're going to try to, we did a, what's that TikTok trend? You can either take this or double it for the next person.
Yeah.
2 weeks ago, we did this thing. We had just an insane amount of Skittles for some reason, Skittles and Starbursts. And we did this thing where we were talking about biblical friendship and we were looking at Jonathan and David. And just the idea that when David's about to go to war before he kills the thousands, right, the thousands upon thousands, Jonathan gives him his tunic and his weapons. And it's like David already had clothes, but Jonathan wanted to be a good biblical friend and give to him, right? So before we even unpack that, I got a student on stage. I said, you like sour Skittles? They're like, I love sour Skittles. And I said, okay, you can either have this pack of sour Skittles or you could double it for the next person. They said, I want to double it. And it ended up being like 12 Skittles or something. I was like, man, I'm going to run out of Skittles here. But they were able to learn that, especially because now they have Skittles in their hand. But man, I had probably 6 different students come up and experience like this moment of, man, I've seen this on TikTok. Now I'm seeing it in real life. We're experiencing it.
Yeah.
Then I'm able to explain, okay, biblical friends, godly friendship is based around giving. And then they're able to remember, man, why did Zach give us Skittles? Oh, it's because we did the double it or take it yourself. And why did we do that? Because biblical friendship is centered around giving. And then from there, I would go into just explaining why we did whatever we did. So we've got the activity that gets them engaged again. And then I'm explaining, man, this is why we did this. This is what the Bible's teaching. And then we'll probably close with a question. And then I'll land the plane. And from there, we go into our care groups where we just discuss, man, how do we apply these things? So through the lesson, I've got an activity. I typically try to have some kind of picture or video on the screen at some point, whether it be the Shrek video or a couple of weeks ago, we're in Arkansas. So Landon Jackson is a big, big guy around here. They love the Razorbacks. Woo Pig Suey. I'm going to get a lot of slack for this. Woo Pig Suey is the strangest catchphrase on the planet. When I got here, I was like, that's a legitimate thing. What do you say? And they're like, it's just what you say. I was like, it doesn't make any sense. But they're big Arkansas fans here. So I was like, okay, I'm going to throw a picture of Landon Jackson on the screen. And we're going to talk based around that. And they're going to go, why did we put Landon Jackson? Oh, because we talked about this idea. So man, whether it's typically an idea of I'm asking questions throughout and I'm typically throwing a picture or a video and an activity in there. And I'm just trying to engage in all those different ways through little 5 minute segments. I hope that answers the question.
No, yeah, that definitely does. I think that's a great answer. And I think that is also a great way for hopefully the people listening to this episode to start getting their minds thinking of like, all right, well, no, I could do that. Or I don't really do videos, but man, like that would be a really easy thing to just kind of dedicate 15 minutes of prep time to where I'm looking on YouTube to try and find a video that like matches the lesson that I'm teaching, or how can I add a visual element to this episode? Or, hey, is this an episode that I could get up and have the kids like skit this and like act this out? And just finding those extra creative ways to engage and involve students. Because when students are involved, they retain so much more. So finally, I guess one of the last questions I have is, how does it come across to students that might not be from a church background, or maybe they're just new believers? Do you find any, I guess, struggle or extra prep for maybe coming up with those ways for students that might not be quote unquote churched?
Yeah, man, you explained it perfectly earlier that they've been in school for 8+ hours already, right? So from anywhere from 8 to 4 that day, they've been in school. And then before they're coming to us, they're going to go home and they're going to work on homework and they're going to get ready for church, right? So by the time they're coming in, whether they're in church or not, they are exhausted. So to then expect for them, I've had certain volunteers come up and say this kind of phrase that, well, they do the same thing in school. They can sit and listen here. And it's like, man, if we want to reach students that have never experienced church, that don't know a lick about Jesus, and we expect them to want to come back to school to create an environment that's just like school, man, there's no wonder we got so many lost kids in schools, because we're creating school in church and they don't want to go to school. Yeah. So we create an environment where it's different than school. It's like, man, we understand that we've got to be engaging you in different ways. So we're not going to ask you to like work, you know what I mean? We're to create an environment where you really enjoy experiencing this, where you really just feel like, man, I'm where you're learning and you don't even realize it. You know what I mean? That's the kind of environment that I'm trying to create. And I think teaching in engaging ways does, because, man, they're having fun watching this video. They're having fun talking about it, because ultimately they want to have these conversations. They don't realize it, but they want to have these discussions about this is who Jesus is. This is what the gospel means. This is how we live as a Christian. And nobody's asking them those questions. And that's why they're not having those conversations. But, man, they want to have these discussions. They want to do these kind of things. They want to sit and watch a little movie with their friends or something. They want to talk about a silly picture on the screen. They want to do those things. And by the time they leave, they go, man, I really learned something tonight, but it didn't even feel like it was learning, because it was something that was engaging. It was something that was exciting. It was something that they really enjoyed doing. If we're trying to create class, if we're trying to create school in church, then the likelihood that we would reach lost students decreases immensely.
Yeah.
As opposed to, man, we're going to try to create an environment where when they come in and we're still teaching the Bible, right? It's not at all that I'm trying to advocate that we don't, man, teach the scriptures, because that's what saves people. But when we're teaching the scriptures, we got to find ways that students can learn without knowing they're learning.
Sure. No, I think that makes sense. If you find ways to engage them where they remember the lesson without it being boring or too structured or anything like that, A, they're going to remember it better, like we've talked about this entire episode. And B, they're going to want to come back.
Yeah.
I've had through the years my fair share of kids that are just like, man, I don't want to sit through school again. I want to play games, or I want to do this, or can we, I mean, even adding the aspect of worship into your services, if you don't have a student worship time, it's different than school. It is something that allows them to get something different, but then also don't be afraid to jump in, like throw in the wild and crazy songs where they're jumping and laughing and having a good time, because it's something different and it allows them to experience God in a different way than what they've heard or what they've been told their entire life. And it sticks, which is great. So outside, obviously, of this conversation, do you have any resources that you've used, that would be a benefit to this conversation that people can go look at? Or is basically you just coming up with your own stuff?
Man, you said YouTube earlier. I think YouTube's an incredible source. Man, when I'm thinking through teaching a passage and teaching something for the Bible, I'm trying to think through, man, what are movies that I've seen? What are YouTube videos that I've seen? What are different pictures that I've come up with? All sorts of different things. So thinking through the different media that we consume, because man, they're consuming media all the time. Thinking through different TikTok trends that are just really popular for them right now and saying, okay, this is what's popular. Can I take this somehow and apply it to what's being talked about in the scriptures? Not bending the scriptures to that, but based on what the scriptures is talking about, can I take something that's already in their world and apply it to it? Other than that, man, what I really like to do, and this is real low key, is I just look up, like if I've got a principle, if I'm teaching on love, I'm going to look up youth group games on love, and whether it's YM360 or Download Youth Ministry or something like that, I'm going to read through that little game that they've got. And I'm just going to go, okay, how do I take that and either directly apply it to what I'm talking about here or make little adjustments to it? I hope that makes sense. And if you've got any resources, man, I hope that you would throw those in here as well.
Yeah, no, we definitely, there's tons of resources out there. Tons of different opportunities for you to get just different stuff. I mean, and like you said, YouTube is hands down one of the biggest resources that you could ever have. And the beauty of that at the same time is kind of tongue in cheek. You can sit on YouTube in your office, and when your pastor walks in, you're just like, hey, I'm researching for ministry.
I'm researching for a lesson, man. That's what I'm doing.
Yeah. So you have time to just goof off on YouTube and find videos that apply. But yeah, it's a great opportunity. And there's so many different things, like you said, in pop culture. If you can throw in a movie that's popular, or man, I mean, throw in Marvel, throw in Disney, throw in Star Wars, all of the things that everybody's talking about right now. If you can somehow tie Mandalorian into your topic, go for it, because people are going to remember stuff like that. It's super, super important. And once it gets into your brain in an engaging way, it's really, really hard for it to leave. And that leaves a lasting impact on something that you've taught. Man, Zach, such great wisdom. You say you're a young guy in youth ministry, but man, this is why we do everybody. Because what great wisdom on this topic, what great insight, and hopefully the people listening to this episode have found something that at least gets their minds starting to think on how they can improve or how they can do this if they haven't been doing it in the past. But finally, how can people connect with you on social media?
Man, this is the confusing one because I spell my name differently than everybody. My name is my social media handle for everything, ZACCARYKELLAR, Zachary Keller. I'm on Instagram. I'm on Facebook. I'd love to connect. I'd love to just network and hear from other people as well, different ways that they've engaged. Because, man, as much as I want to impart wisdom that God has given me to other people, man, I need more wisdom every single day. So if somebody's listening to this and is like, man, I've got something that I want to share with you that maybe you haven't thought of yet. Man, I want to hear that so, so bad so that I can, man, reach as many as we can.
That's awesome. No, and that's the whole point of this is we are here to promote ideas of youth pastors for other youth pastors, but we don't want to leave the ones that are guests on the show out as well. So be sure to reach out to Zach so you can have the conversations with him. And then, yeah, hopefully y'all have conversations. Hopefully this podcast sparked inspiration for you, to where you can look back and be like, man, this was something, that maybe I struggled with, or maybe I wasn't doing a great job at, but I'd really, really, like to get better at. But yeah, so that's all that we have for this show. If you are a frequent listener of our podcast, all that we ask is that you do your part to get our podcast out to the greater student ministry audience. Share our podcast with your youth pastor friends on social media, or tag a specific episode that really stood out to you, like Zach's today. Either way, be sure to tag us in the post on your favorite platform. by using @talkstudentmen. Finally, like Zach, if you'd like to be on the show in the future, reach out to us on social media or send us an email, podcast@studentministryconversations.org. And we would love to set up a time that you can come on the show with us. And so your ideas and your voice can be heard in the conversation as well. Zach, this conversation has been a lot of fun. Such a great topic. I'm grateful for you speaking up and sending us an email, asking if just offering you to be on the podcast as well. We love having as many different guests as possible. And when people speak up and say, hey, I want to be on the podcast, quite honestly, it makes our job easier. We don't have to go find people to be on the podcast. So thank you for reaching out. Thank you for the wisdom and insight that you shared. And for everybody that is listening, we hope that you have a great week, and we will see you next time.